Hello, Athlete Mindset community. This is Lisa Bontasumi, the host of Athlete Mindset. Before we dive into this episode, I want to invite you to support the mission and purpose of our show. For $10 a month, you can help to make sure these conversations get to as many athletes, teams, coaches, and sport mental health environments as possible. As a subscriber, you will receive exclusive content and updates on current topics in athlete mental health, and you'll be directly contributing to the betterment of mental health for all athletes. Join the cause. Subscribe at sportse.io/athlete and make a difference today. Again, that's sportse.io/athlete. With your support and amplification, we can ensure more voices are heard and more individuals and communities are positively impacted. I'm super excited to be sitting down with Mr. Doug Middleton today. Doug Middleton is a six-year NFL veteran safety. He played for the New York Jets, Miami Dolphins, Jacksonville Jaguars, and most recently, the San Francisco 49ers. Doug is the owner of Dream Yoga and Wellness, a luxury and inclusive hot yoga studio and wellness center with mental health professionals on site. Doug is also a yoga instructor. What I'm most impressed about is diving into the conversation around his mental health advocacy, the fact that he is the owner of Dream Yoga and Wellness, which is a luxury and inclusive hot yoga studio and wellness center with mental health professionals on site, which is amazing. We're going to dive into all this. He's also the special assistant to the athletics department at Appalachian State University, where he attended as a student athlete, and so much more. I'm just like super excited. We're going to go all over the place, but like, hey, Doug, how's it going? Thanks for being with me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Lisa, for this opportunity. Excited to have this conversation with you.
Me too. You and I met just a few months ago during the Super Bowl week festivities that the NFLPA put on. You were on a panel. You had a booth with your father, who I got to meet. Yeah. It was exciting. Yeah. And just to learn about you, what you're doing. So we're going to go a few places. But the first thing is, as you reflect back on your NFL career, what do you wish you knew as a rookie that you now know?
For me, I wouldn't say there wasn't really a lot that I wish I had knew, because I don't really have any regrets or any shit I could have, would have. I mean, I was an athlete that barely made it, and I made it because of a lot of intangibles. And so, if anything, I would just reinforce more of the things that I was able to kind of figure out throughout my time in the league. And one, that thing is building relationships. That's the most important thing that athletes should keep in mind when, you know, getting to the professional level. It's all about relationships. You're being judged by everything that you're doing. Everyone's watching. And these relationships, these people around that building, they may end up being other places later on in your career. And that could be something that really helps you. And so I would put more of an emphasis on relationships, just because, you know, I had a situation like that in Jacksonville when I got to, you know, I got released from the Jets and had been at another team. It was my relationship with the defensive back coach that had brought me into the league with the New York Jets that gave me the opportunity to be signed on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I just think relationships are so key in life, you know, and just being able to have relationships that keep doors open. And then really, I would say just to really just enjoy it. You know, it goes by so fast. It's, you know, some really good moments in your life, and just enjoy every part of it. Enjoy the journey for what it is and the highs and lows of it. You know, that's what I would really focus on. And then the last thing I would say was just to maximize the opportunity. Just maximize every single opportunity. Take advantage of everything that you're given, every opportunity to go an extra, anytime that you have, to just make sure that you take full advantage of the chances that you have, because once you lose that opportunity, you lose that chance, it doesn't really come back very often. Everybody, you know, it's better to be in than it is to be out. And at the end of the day, it's a job that everybody wishes to have, you know, and you got to really appreciate it and not take it for granted. And so, I mean, I really enjoyed my time playing football in the NFL. It, you know, it changed my life. I have no regrets. I felt like I maximized my talent for what I had, and I did as much as I could with the platform that I was given. And I'm just very thankful of the time that I had.
I appreciate it. People are going to hear this real quick. Okay, that was me dropping the mic / my pen because Doug is over here giving us some gems. Yeah. I think building relationships is so huge. Everything you said, enjoy it. Talk to me more about the intangibles that you said. What are the intangibles that you said got you to the league and kept you there, you think?
Yeah. I think the intangibles were big because, I mean, you know, the first day that I walked into the locker room, you know, you would see a first round guy, you would see guys that's been around 10 years, guys say 15 years. You see guys that were getting cut. You see guys that didn't even make it a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you looked at them like, man, they had so much talent. What happened? Or he had so much talent. Why didn't they keep him? And it really came down to the intangibles. That was something that I was able to see really quickly. One of the intangibles that I'm talking about is the way that guys prepare. You know, the time that guys put in into their craft, the amount of time that they spend on their bodies, the amount of time they spend in the weight room, the amount of time that they spend watching film, the amount of time that they spend training their mind and being able to be prepared when the opportunity comes. That's what I would say would be one thing that really stood out, just seeing guys do that at a really high level. And, you know, I always rate it like this. If you're a first round pick that takes your craft seriously, both physically and mentally, you're going to play 10 years. If you are a first round pick that, you know, has the physical attributes, but don't really take it mentally, you know, seriously, you probably play 4 or 5, you know, just because you have so much talent. And then if you're a guy who does not have the first round talent, but you take it, you know, mentally serious, then you'll kind of be like me and you know, play 5 or 6 and kind of make your way. But if you're a guy who does not have the talent, does not take it mentally serious, you'll be in and out of the league in less than a year. So that's the way that I usually see the boxes that I see guys fit in. And it's that, you know, if you have this maximum talent, talent alone is not going to get you 10 years in this league. You know, it's going to take a well combination of you taking this craft serious mentally and physically. Some of the other intangible is just always, I got to say it again, always being prepared. You know, I remember when I got to Jacksonville, my coach said, you know, we signed you because I know I can trust you. I know you can be prepared with, you know, whatever situation comes up. I think you could be trusted. And that's, you know, that's kind of what it comes down to, is always being prepared, always being trusted, because you may not get as many reps as the guy next to you. You may not get as many reps as the starter, but, you know, when you get into the game and you have the opportunity, they're going to judge, you know, just what's on the film. They're not looking at how many reps and how many chances you got to practice it. You just got to be ready to go. And so, you know, taking the film room serious, taking the practice field serious, all those things matter. And then another intangible, just being a good locker room guy, you know, helping out the others, you know, being a nice guy around the building, treating everybody with respect. You never know who all these different people are that's walking around the building. If you just treat everybody like they're important and, you know, you treat everybody like they have something to offer, then that's how you get recognized. That's how you stay around the building, because, you know, the negativity is they're made aware of the negativity very fast, and they see everything. They judge everything. You know? They judge how you, you know, what time you show up, what time you leave, how you prepare. They judge every single thing. And they're able to see it all. And so all the small things matter. All the small things matter. All intangibles matter. And so just take your craft serious. That's what I would tell any athletes looking to pursue, you know, the next level.
For sure. That's such, like, insightful, like, how did, I guess I'm just like, I love it all. And like you said, it can be at any level. It can be any sport. It can be any age, being able to take your craft seriously and all the small things matter. How did you learn that though? How did you learn to value preparation, to value the intangibles, meaning who you are as a human being, things that you can't measure in stats, things like that, like being a good person and applying it to your craft? Where did you learn that?
Yeah, and that's why the last part I hit on, you know, helping out the young guys, because there was a lot of guys that helped me show me how you should, you know, conduct your business, conduct your craft in each level that I was in. Whether that was high school, you know, there was a high school teammate that picked me up. There was college athletes. As soon as I got to college, it showed me the right way to do things. You know, professional athletes, once I got to the Jets and other teams, that showed me the right way to go about business. And so just being able to find a good mentor on each team at each level that can, you know, make sure, you know, you return the favor as an older guy. If you have the talent and, you know, you've been playing in the league a while, being able to give advice and show the young guy how to do it, because at the end of the day, there's enough jobs for everybody. There's enough jobs. Enough opportunities for everybody. It's not going to come down to, oh, I gave this guy too much wisdom. Now he took my job. That's not really what it comes down to. If you do everything that you can in your power and that person does everything that they can, then there'll be plenty enough opportunities for everybody. And so I think I was just able to find good mentors, you know, that took me under their wing. I could just think about in the professional leagues, you know, Marcus Gilchrist, Darrell Revis, guys like that, that showed me how to conduct business, how to take my craft serious, you know, showed me some of those intangibles, how to prepare, how to take care of your body, how to be early, how to watch film. And, you know, I remember just studying and learning from some of those guys and being able to return the favor once I got, you know, into my sixth year in the league and showing some of the younger guys that were rookies how to really do business. And so it's all about returning the favor.
Yeah.
I learned that those intangibles from it's just older guys that had, you know, had already maneuvered through the league and had some losses and wins and were able to learn a lot and know things that they shouldn't do, things that they should, and be able to pass that knowledge to me. And then you just keep passing it down. And it's not something you can learn from a book. It's not something that you have to really get in there and see somebody else doing it and have them show you the way. It's just having good mentors, I would say.
No, that's amazing. And that applies to any job, any craft, right? Yeah. And so, like you said, you can't really read that. It's just what you see and what's modeled for you and what's shown of you because they've been there before. So I think that's super powerful, Doug, for sure.
Yeah. You got to have a good example.
For sure. As we shift a little bit away from football and everything that you've learned and how that's helped you become the man that you are, the person that you are, you say you're a champion for mental health. Everyone can go in different directions after they leave the league and go into their next chapter, their next craft. How come mental health? What led you to become an advocate for mental health? What's the story behind that?
Yeah. So there's a few things that got me into being passionate about mental health. I would say really the first one is my mom being involved with mental health. She was a therapist. She is currently working in the mental health space. My brother is now working in the mental health space. And so just seeing that passion from her about, you know, how passionate she is with the space. The second thing that I would say is just really going throughout my career and seeing how important mental health is and you know, the difference that it does create when you are mentally fit, when you are mentally strong, when you have resilience, and how that made a difference in my career and my life. And the third, but most important one, was really losing my best friend, you know, going into my second year in the NFL to suicide. He was also a student athlete. His name was AJ. And seeing him lose his life, you know, after suffering from, you know, a mental illness, that is what made me a champion of mental health, just being able to share his story all around the world in hopes that, you know, people will find hope, people will find resources, and people will find the help that they need. And so those are the three reasons that I champion mental health each and every day, not only in my studio, but when I have conversations like this and to all, you know, to other young people, young student athletes, and just really to any males that may be going through the same thing. This world is tough, you know, it's hard, you know, success is hard, and being able to chase the dreams that you have is also hard. And so along the way, you need a good support system, you need a good community, and you need people that can all hold you accountable to make sure that you're staying mentally healthy.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's super powerful. I mean, it's almost like you grew up with the value, you grew up with the importance of mental health, and having someone so close to you die by suicide is going to change a life, you know, change your life, change anyone who's close to him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one of the main pillars of mental health and to be mentally fit and healthy is to have a good support system and a community. And you're building that not just for yourself, but for the people around you.
Yeah. The way I see it is, you know, my mom was so passionate in the space. She's done so much work in the space. But, you know, even that wasn't enough, you know, to save my friend's life. And so I always say it takes more than one. It takes a village. It takes a village of support. And, you know, while I did lose my best friend, I think we've been able to, you know, save a lot of other people's lives. We've been able to save a lot of other student athletes, a lot of other people that are struggling, that's been able to hear his story and have some connection to it. You know, I think that the more and more that we have conversations like these, and the more that it comes from people that have you know, achieve things in life, but have also struggled along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It just really brings a familiarity to people to what they may be going through right now in this present moment. And so that's why I enjoy conversations like these. That's the hope that I'm looking to give when I spread a story. And, you know, just hopefully that somebody hears a conversation like this and maybe, you know, trying to decide between living and dying. And this is something that can help them. So, yes, these conversations are really, you know, real to me for sure.
Absolutely. And I can feel that and I see that. And I think that this is bigger than ourselves. The thing about mental health is that it's invisible. We don't know where people are living on that continuum. And we don't know what people are going through behind the scenes, right? And we got to pay attention to that. And someone's going to listen to this. It's going to save their life or someone close to their lives. And that's the importance of it. So I can't appreciate you enough for being so honest and open and generous with your time.
For sure.
It's really amazing because you are doing it day in and day out, also with your nonprofit, Dream the Impossible. Tell me about that.
Yeah. This nonprofit was started in 2017. We started it after, you know, after AJ's death. And really what it came down to is we wanted to be able to help more student athletes that were similar to AJ, African-American male student athletes. I feel like, you know, you have to really understand, you have to have had been in those shoes to really understand what these young men are going through.
Mm-hmm.
As student athletes, as African-Americans that are coming from sometimes tough communities, tough situations, and then now transitioning and trying to find their way into a highly successful life. And so there's just a lot of pressure there. There's also a lot of guilt. You know, it's a lot of guilt sometimes that you know, you could be the one that could save your family. And sometimes that conversation is tough in itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, isolation that goes along because you have to work so hard to be able to get out of those circumstances. And it's just understanding just the struggles of that certain population. And so we started this foundation in hopes that we could bring more awareness to the struggles that young male African-American student athletes have. And then after the awareness, then it's about the education and just being able to bring these resources to their communities, to these young men, to these high schools, to these communities, and figure out a way that they could take advantage of these resources by making it something that, you know, it's cool to them, something that's attractable. And so you know, we've been bringing it to their environment, staying, you know, places that they feel comfortable in, you know, whether that's having a, you know, our annual 707 that brings awareness to mental health on right onto the football field. We're having these conversations about, you know, about mental health and then also into the classroom. And so just finding more ways to bring the resources into their environment is the reason why we created this foundation. And now we're doing a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot of pivoting, but we're pivoting to really focusing on yoga and wellness with these student athletes, knowing that yoga is a big tool for mindfulness. Yoga has been a big tool for me in my life, changed my life and really helped, you know, change my career. And I just want to pass down that same thing to these young athletes as well, you know, being able to bring those resources to them as well. And then from there, it's just the connection. It's the brotherhood. It's the fellowship. That is what this foundation was created for. And so, you know, we've been around for about 6 years and, you know, our camps, our events have been highly successful. And we've been able to touch a lot of young men over the years and we hope to continue to touch more. Even some of our guys that were in some of our first programs are now, you know, transitioning into the NFL. And that's what's pretty cool about this whole thing. So, you know, just seeing it come full circle is what it's about.
For sure. I mean, you're definitely a man of someone who really values giving back and like not taking for granted what's been given to you and impacting the next generation and generations to come. I think it's very, very cool that there's a yoga sort of thrust to it. You are an owner of a yoga studio, but you're also a yoga instructor, which is amazing. I mean, when I talk about you to people, they're like, what? Yeah, that makes sense that he owns a yoga studio, but like, what? He like took it to that level where he actually instructs and went through the process to become an instructor. Tell me how yoga has changed your life and where that started.
Wow. Yeah. I love yoga so much, man.
He's smiling, y'all. You can't see it, but he's just smiling.
This is kind of my life. You know, I found yoga my third year in college. I had a strength coach. I give him so much to him this day, but his name was Coach Mike. He was, from the University of South Carolina, and he had just got the job as a head strength coach at App State.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, but the first time he walked through, he came on campus, said, man, Doug, like, you're so stiff, man. Like, you're like, I wish I could just break you. That was the first thing he said. Like, I wish I could just snap you because you're just so stiff. He's like, you're explosive, but, like, you know, you're going to get injured a lot if you don't, you know, really find a way to stretch. And so he's like, man, I need you to go to the yoga class. And so I signed up for yoga. I took it as a class, and I was doing it every single week. And my junior year ended up being the best season of my career in college. Mm. And I credit that a lot, you know, of course, you know, other things, but yoga was a big part of that. And then from there, I kept doing it. He would bring in a yoga teacher, you know, every week during the summer for us, for the team. That was a big thing that he did. And then going into my rookie year, I had this yoga teacher that would come during camp. And, you know, this taught me more about yoga for athletes because it was different than the yoga that I had in college. Mm. You know, in the middle of camp, and I would say, I'm just so tired and beat down. She would just say, okay, well, just let's just lay down. Let's just start here. And, you know, we would just lay down. It would spend some time just visualizing some stuff. She would do a couple stretches with my feet. And then that would be it. And I would be like, wow, like that's it? And she was like, yeah, that's all you need right now. And mm-hmm. I was exposed to that yoga can mean different things. You know, it doesn't have to be this all this movement. It can just be sometimes sitting with our thoughts, our body, our minds. You know, then, you know, towards the off season, then we would crank it up and move a lot more. And, you know, it was just based on serve, based on, you know, our current needs for the circumstance that we were in at the time. And so throughout my career, after losing my friend, it brought me back to yoga again for the mental benefits, not really the physical benefits. Mm-hmm. And I was able, felt like I was able to get more connected with my mind and body during that time. And then towards the end of my career, bouncing around from team to team, I was able to find a yoga studio because that helped me find community in these new environments that I was in, new towns, new cities, and just going, you know, searching for people that I could connect with, even though I didn't really know many people. And so that's kind of what got me into yoga. And then from there, I did my teacher training in 2022. And I took that. And now that experience was really big, not only for my self-development, you know, less about teaching, but more about self-development, learning more about, you know, myself and self-awareness and learning about the things that I do well and then a lot of my weaknesses. And so, you know, I fell in love with that part of the journey. And then, you know, wanting to open up a studio just to be able to bring more mental health resources to the community. And I just knew what yoga did for my life. And now we've been open for about 8 months, and we do have mental health resources on site. And, you know, me and you've been talking more about that, but our yoga is great. We have tons of athletes that come through our doors. I think I've taught at least 3 or 4 NFL athletes over the last couple of days, you know. So, you know, yoga is really big for us, and the athletes receive it very well. And you know, everybody who's not an athlete connects very well with it as well, and they love to see other athletes in the class. And so I consider everybody an athlete. Everybody, right. Their body, if they do anything physically, mentally, they're an athlete. And so, yep. We have a bunch of athletes in our community here, you know, and it's been a lot of fun to share this yoga experience with them.
And thank you for sharing, you know, your story with it and how you've grown to love it and value it. And it's now your life. It's your new craft, and being able to share it with others, right?
It is my new craft.
Yeah. And I mean, I might be uneducated, but I don't think I am, in that a yoga studio with in-house therapists is trailblazing some stuff. Like, it just shows the value that you have in linking mental and physical wellness together and having people have an opportunity to get that all in one place. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's been good. It's been a pleasant surprise to see the way people receive these resources. I'm really sure how it's going to work, how people will receive it. But I think that's been the most exciting part is how people receive the resources. And, you know, that's been the most fulfilling part.
For sure. Because you're normalizing it, that it can all live and exist together in one place.
Yeah. If you see a professional athlete do it, you see how serious they take their craft with yoga, why wouldn't you want to take it serious? And that's what it comes down to. You know, the yoga and mental health, these are things that us in the locker room, we use all the time. You know, we use all the time when I was in the NFL. And so if that worked for us, then why wouldn't that work for somebody who's not a professional athlete? And so
that's right.
It's kind of where I'm going at it with it.
That's right. I know that you are a new dad.
Yeah.
Baby girl is like barely a month old, if that.
No, yeah, she's 3 weeks today. 3 weeks today.
Yeah, so cute.
A lot of fun.
Oh my God.
She kept me up all night last night. So it's all fun.
Looking all nice and bright and awake. But I was teasing you the other day about, like, you know, how is losing sleep? You're like, nah, it's just like training camp. There's nothing.
It was like training camp until last night. She wouldn't stop crying.
Okay.
And I told my yoga class that today. I said, you know, that's just like the journey of life, the ups and downs of it. Like, cause I was like, yeah, it's not that bad until last night. And it was like,
oh gosh.
Like,
right.
She's stuffy. Her, you know, she has allergies just like everybody else right now.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't breathe through her nose and she was getting frustrated. So she just kept crying. I was frustrated for her. Like,
I know.
But I'm stuffy as well, you know.
Right. So, we are. And poor baby girl doesn't have the resources that we have as adults to deal with that. And training camp don't include your own baby girl crying. That's something. As a parent,
it's something.
Just like,
I want to help, and I know why she's doing them. You know, I get it.
I know. What do you want to teach her as she grows older about yoga, about mental health? What do you want to make sure that she grows up valuing and like having her own story and her own support around it?
Wow. Not even yoga and mental health, because you just brought up some stuff. I'm going to go into, but I don't know how you feel about faith, but I wanted to teach God. I think that's you know, she's been here for 3 weeks and we've booked her every night. And last night I was just reading like Genesis 1 to her, and you know, just seeing her look up and look up at me and look up, that was some special moments. That's the first thing I want to teach her, just because God has been a huge champion in my life, you know, my faith. And so that's one thing I'll say. And then about yoga and mental health, just want to teach her perspective. Perspective is the most important thing that I learned through yoga. One day you can come in doing every single pose, you can be the most flexible. And the next day you can come in, not even be able to touch your toes.
And that's
just how life is. It's the ups and downs and being able to see it with the right perspective. Like someday, this day may not be, you know, a day that I'm feeling good, but being able to see the positive in that and seeing the fact that I'm still here, I'm alive. A lot to be grateful for. So I just want to teach her how to look at life with the right perspective in a positive manner, no matter what the circumstance or the outcome may be. And then about yoga, the yoga just teaches me how to appreciate the present moment, appreciate where you are, where you've been, you know, where you may be going, but most importantly, where you are right now. And so that's what I hope she learns from yoga and mental health. And that's what I would say.
Oh, I know she will, because you're her dad and you'll make sure of it.
Yeah.
But it's been, right. Yeah, you will. It's been beyond a pleasure. Like, I think we could have chatted here for another 2-3 hours, just about everything. I'm unpacking it more. Again, you know, I value your time. You're a busy man, and the treasures that you shared today, I don't take lightly, and I know will impact somebody's life and reason for living and save lives. So I just want to appreciate you and thank you so much for all that you're doing and all that you are and how you go about it, you know. So thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for what you're doing with Ath Mindset, and thank you for this great platform that you have going, and thank you for the work that you do for our community.
I appreciate you.
Athlete Mindset is part of the CASSource Podcast Network. At CASSource, we love podcasts. In fact, we love building podcasts, everything from development to production. Because of all that, we're growing this one-of-a-kind podcast network. If you have a podcast or looking to launch a new podcast, then we should talk. You can message me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz, or hit us up any way that works for you by searching CASSource on your social media app of choice. Let's talk about your podcast joining this one-of-a-kind podcast network, the CASSource Podcast Network.